Join us five, five. Pull up a kitchen chair. There's music in the making, and we hope to see you there. Gather round your radio, we can chat about our tunes. As friends and neighbors get together to play a few old tunes. Local folk on the radio, it's time to listen in. Local folk on the radio, let the music use begin.
This month on Local Folk, we'll be talking to musician Bill Staines and featuring some of his music. And we'll also later in the program be having a reading from local musician and author Dave Bagdad's new book, A Year in Mudville.
Well, folks, this is a little unusual for the Local Folk radio show, but we have a phone interview with longtime folk musician Bill Staines. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to be with you.
Well, nice of you to take time and be with us. Bill, you know, your career, I understand, spans well over 40 years. What we like, you know, to give our listeners is an idea of where you got your start. You know, do you get a guitar as a kid, or was it something you just stumbled into?
Well, I was, you know, I started playing guitar when I was about 11 years old, and I was playing, you know, sort of teenage rock and roll Adventures and Johnny and the Hurricanes music back in the early late 50s, early 60s, and then I was at one of my friend's house, and his mother came downstairs with the original Weavers at Carnegie Hall album and said, "You guys should listen to this."
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love with folk music, and that was, you know, probably 61, 62, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
And folk music at the time was one of the pop music forms, you know. I mean, high school kids were singing it, and Joan Baez was just starting out. So when I was in high school, I was actually going to the Hootenannies at the Club 47 in the Boston, you know, I grew up in the Boston-Cambridge music scene, which was just a wonderful place to grow up.
Uh-huh.
And listening to, you know, and listening live to people like Tim Hardin and Joan Baez and Tom Rush and Dick and Mimi Farina, they were all living around Boston. And when I was in high school, I would literally throw my books in the locker at 3 o'clock and head off to the coffee houses at nighttime. So I got a job working for Sears Roebuck after I got out of high school, but I was singing in the coffee houses at nighttime, and then in 1969 I started doing it full time.
Uh-huh.
So it's just been, you know, it's been my life ever since I was, you know, ever since the, like 1961 or 62.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like you had a wonderful time and being influenced by all those people you were surrounded with. Did you have a particular guitar hero or inspirational, you know, person who led you through the guitar process?
Well, it was actually a balladeer in the Boston area. His name was Jackie Washington, and he was the first person I actually went to see who could fingerpick the guitar. And he had three or four albums out on Vanguard, which was sort of the big folk, one of the big folk labels at the time. And so he was, you know, aside from the Weavers and, of course, the Kingston Trio and, you know, the pop music icons at the time, but the Weavers and then Jackie Washington and then Ian and Sylvia, of course,
mm-hmm.
they were folk stars at the time, and very, very early Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah. Wow, you hit right in the middle of all that, didn't you?
I did. You know, and in fact, I went to the 1965 Newport Folk Festival, and I would say if there was a musical event that shaped my life, it was really the what they call the New Folks Concert, and it was Gordon Lightfoot and Mark Spolstra and Dick and Mimi Farina, and I mean, all these people were playing in this one concert, and I came away from that concert really knowing who I was in style and knowing that I wanted that's what I wanted to do with my life, really.
Mm-hmm. So, well, we've been we're talking with Bill Staines. Bill, why don't we go ahead and listen to one of your tunes?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Pouches of my saddlebags with Muppet Road tied behind. There's a prairie in the sky, I'll find it by and by. Hues of brown and yellow to make a soul unwind. Music take me home to where a heart may roam. I'll fly across the meadows and touch the tall grass as I go. Let the gentle western wind stay with me till the end, beside me till the day is done and the sun is settled.
Wondering, you know, how you got from guitar player into the folk writing process.
Well, it was really that 1965 Newport concert, and you know, I came away, and a lot of the people that were at that concert were songwriters, and people coming into the Hoots, and I actually ended up in 1966 from 1966. Well, I would say 1967, 1968, I ran the Hoot Nannies at the Club 47 on Sundays. And so people were coming in, you know, with their own songs. And of course, a lot of it were topical songs. A lot of the songs were topical songs relating to the events in the middle to late 60s and, you know, the whole civil rights movement. So people were writing songs mostly in a traditional bent about things that were happening at the time. I tended to stay away from protest songs, but the fact that those songwriters were, you know, were writing their own songs was new to me. And I think in 1966 I wrote my first song, and you know, and then Lightfoot became very popular, and so I just sort of started writing my own songs and emulating the people that were my folk heroes.
Wow. What comes first for you? Do you get like a tune or a lick and build from there, or do you have a set of lyrics that you try to bring the music into?
Well, in songwriting, there are two stages for me. There's the conceptual stage, which is really the hardest stage. That's like, what is the song going to be about? You know, what's the story? What's the point that you're trying to get across to people? And that's the heart and soul of the song. And that's really something that doesn't come with music or come with, it's a thought process. And, you know, it's, you're moved or inspired by something, or, you see something of value. There are people who write songs every day. And I say that there are two kinds of writers. There are people who live to write and people who live to live and then write about it. And there are people who get up every day and say, I'm a songwriter, so I need to write, and they write about coffee cups, and they write about the car keys, and they write about, the leaves outside the window, and it's like, I have to wait until there's something of real value to bring to people. And I think that's what makes a song universal. Well, anyway, that's the conceptual stage. And then the second stage is what I call the craft stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you sit down with your notebook and basically hammer it out. Sometimes it just flows out of you. Sometimes it's a real work process. But generally speaking, I say that the music leads the way, but not necessarily a melody.
Uh-huh.
It's I sit down with my guitar and I just start noodling around, and maybe the song is going to be flat picked. Maybe it's going to be finger picked, maybe it's going to be fast, maybe it's going to be slow, and that personality comes in the first few minutes of the creative process. It's like I know it's going to be in a major key, and then the rest of it, the melody and the lyrics sort of evolve by themselves. Music's a very visual thing for me, and So I may have hit upon a chord pattern that moves me that particular day, or just a chord progression, or a number of notes that together make something click inside of my mind. And I may happen upon a chord that evokes an image, and that image, It develops. So really, I think the music leads the way, but not necessarily the melody. The melody and the lyrics come about at the same time.
Yeah, what a fascinating process. Well, speaking of music moving the way, why don't we hear another of Bill Stain's songs?
This half hour brought to you by your friends in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. By Jack's Auto Repair, all tracks do lead to Jack's, where the bright flashing lights show you the way to complete satisfaction. By Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, if you can't find it at Ralph's, you can probably get along without it. By the Chatterbox Cafe, not responsible for articles left on the premises. And by the Sidetrack Tap, no spitting, no profane language. Please don't sleep in our bar, we don't drink in your bed. Here's a fellow that we've been waiting to hear on our show for months and months. He just comes around a couple times a year. He is a terrific yodeler and a wonderful singer and guitarist. And if that isn't enough, he also plays the guitar left-handed. Mr. Bill Stain.
A one, two, one, two, three, four.
I used to go to country bars, sit and watch them play guitars, and they'd order me up six or seven beers. How I'd love to hang around, listen to that country sound, to the band that played Sweet Heaven in my ears. Little Ray was on guitar, I'd watch him from the bar, and like lightning did his fingers run the strings. And the people near dropped dead when he played behind. song.
Another great tune of yours. I do have one question that was submitted to me, and it may not be your most popular thing, but I understand at one point, maybe in 1975, you were a yodeling champion.
Hey, well, I'd always been fascinated by yodeling, and when I was growing up, there was a honky-tonk roadhouse that was nearby in my hometown, and there was a fellow there by the name of Johnny White, and he had a country and western band, and when I was like 21 and I could go to these places, I used to go and hear this just sort of a funky country and western band, and Johnny was a great yodeler.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I actually bought his 45 RPM record and slowed it down to 16 RPM to see if I could figure out what yodeling is all about. And it was really, it's just a controlled crack in your voice.
Uh-huh.
And, you go from a chest tone to a falsetto, and it's a crack both up and down, and I was able to do that.
Huh.
And so I always say that yodeling is something that's very easy to do if you can do it.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is just learning the syllables and so forth. And so, in fact, the song "The Ballad of the Maples" is about that country and western band.
Oh, really?
With some yodeling at the end of it. But yeah, it's just always something that's fascinated me, and so I kind of entered the contest as a lark at the folk festival. You know, all my friends, I happened to be in Texas at the time, and
mm-hmm.
all my friends said, why don't you enter this contest? And I thought, well, I don't know. And so I did. And actually, the judges were Mike Seeger and Montana Slim, Wilf Carter, iconic, 40s and 50s yodeler. And
mm-hmm. Some of the greats.
the first woman to have a million-selling country and western record.
So
it was fun.
Yeah, well, it sounds
and
like
I got,
it.
I got a trophy, $100, and a trophy that said Ace Bowling and Billiards Supply.
And it's hanging on your wall somewhere, right?
It's down in the basement someplace, you know.
All right.
It shows some runner with a, you know, with an ivy wreath or something like that. I don't know, but it was fun.
Child of mine, you are the wildest wind in the dearest dream I will ever know. Love's lasting light shines out from deep within this father's heart as I watch you grow.
Child of mine, you are the break of dawn and the brightest star I will ever know. Love's lasting light comes shining on and on from this mother's heart as I watch you grow.
There's a road, and that road
Bill, we really appreciate you taking time and I guess and managing traffic at the same time to talk with us. Where might people find out about you and where you're going to be and more about your music?
Well, I think the best thing to do is, the website is www.acousticmusic.com/Staines. But if you just go to Google and type in Bill Staines, the first thing that comes up is the website and contact information and CD sales and a schedule is on the website. So it's the easiest thing to do. Just go to Google and type in my name.
Okay, we'll point out to people that Staines is Staines.
Right.
So for the visually impaired here on radio. So, well, thanks again, Bill, for your time, and it's been a pleasure to talk with you and have you on Local Folk Radio.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
Well, Bill, I'm looking here, and it looks like you're doing a mini Midwest tour. People in the Midwest can catch Bill Staines first in Cleveland on March 28th at the Winchester Performance Hall, and then in a house concert in Bloomington, Indiana on the 29th. Now, is that a closed affair, do you know, or...?
No, it's open to the public, and there's a couple there that have it's a geodesic dome house, and there's an area where they actually put on, it's bigger than a house concert, but it is in their house, and so it's a lot of fun.
Great. And then finally, you're concluding the tour close to us anyway, at the Leo Coffee House in Cincinnati on the 30th. Now, have you played there before?
Yes, I think this is probably my fourth time playing there. It's a great venue, and people are really warm, and it's wonderful.
Okay. Well, and we can find all of this information on your website, as you've mentioned before, and with that and wherever else in the world Bill Staines is playing.
That's right.
All righty. Well, thanks, Bill.
Be sure to mark your calendars for the 26th Ohio Valley Gathering, a gathering of old and new friends who love acoustic, old-time, and traditional music. It's March 30th through April 1st, 2012, at the Holiday Inn Louisville East in Hurstburn. It's sponsored by the Louisville Dulcimer Society. For more information, you can visit their website at louisvilledulcimer.org. Bring $7 for registration for workshops, your acoustic instruments, for a weekend full of fun and learning in music. Local Folk is brought to you by the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. You can find us on the web at www.indianafolkmusic.org. Local Folk is also produced by the following bunch of fun-loving and hard-working people: Phil Slates, Tim Hoke, Gary Ryder, Carla Slates, Nathaniel Rabb, Gary Rogers, Susie Krasick, Dave Slates, Mike Rabb, and a special thanks to our engineer, John Adamson.